Welcome back to another week of the Rebel Room with...
What's happening? All you haters.
Ryan Green.
Key Clavin.
Alex.
What up?
Have you heard that new T.I. album, Paper Trail, son?
It's work. And that new John Legend Evolver. Oh, double work.
Dude, save that for another podcast. This is the Rebel Room.
But you know fans who care about UNLV care about what we think about in the music game. Let me tell you.
That thought would have never crossed my mind.
Let me tell you three albums to get, real talk. Get that new T.I. Paper Trail. Get that new Neo, Year of the Gentleman. And get that new John Legend. You get that, and then you get a little girl. I'm just saying. We got to keep it clean for the kids. But I'm just saying.
Are you done?
That's all. Can we keep that part in there, too?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Maybe.
You know how the suits are these days, people. Always hating on you.
Or so you like to think. that is Alex Adianju. I'm Ryan Green. Welcome to another week of the Rebel Room. We will be talking UNLV football, and we will also talk a little hoopage as we are a week away from the exhibition opener.
The madness. The revolution. Who do you think thought of revolution?
Somebody a lot smarter than I am, because I would have never thought of it. I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool, too.
But that's going to be we'll get Rob Mish in the studio later on in the show to chatter that a little bit. But first, let's start off with some football talk. You know, it's funny that you would think that this team now at 3-6, you would think we're running out of things to talk about. But it seems like each week something just creeps up. And this week, a little bit of sadder news, I guess. Omar Clayton, sophomore quarterback who's had such a great season so far for the Rebels. He's really been one of the bright spots. Hurt his knee in Saturday's 44-14 bloodbath loss against TCU, and it didn't look good. The MRI is today. The results will be tomorrow. Mike Sanford pretty much said today, though, expect redshirt freshman Mike Clausen to be the starter. He didn't finalize it for sure, but it's pretty close to a guarantee, I would think. Clausen will be starting Saturday when the Rebels play the first of their final three games of the year against New Mexico. They have three games left, three winnable games, which could get them to 6-6 should some things go the right way. Doesn't guarantee anything, but
if you would tell UNLV that you would get 6-6 this year, they would have shook your hand, hugged you, and maybe kissed you in the preseason.
And they're still playing for something, I guess. So yes. That's the key to this all. But let's talk about the significance of the Clayton injury. Obviously, I don't think what we saw from Mike Clausen when he came in off the bench was indicative of you like that word. I'm using the big boy language this week.
I didn't even hear what you said.
I don't think it's indicative of what he really can bring to the table, because, you know, just about every other time he's gotten some reps in games this season, he's looked pretty good. But I don't think anybody was going to be looking good against that defense.
That defense was just swarming. That defense was downright sick. I was on the sidelines watching them run down players, run down balls. It was just amazing. But that Omar injury is huge. I mean, you could make an argument he was the team MVP through the first eight games of the year.
Oh, yeah,
and
no question.
He was everything to that offense. He made that offense click. Every time you lose a starting quarterback, let alone a starting quarterback who's been playing well, let alone a sophomore starting quarterback who's been playing really, really well, I mean, it's going to be a big blow to the offense. I'm sure they'll still put up numbers because that offense is magical. By magical, I mean it scores points. So they'll still put up points, but every time you lose a Omar Clayton, it's going to be huge for no matter what team you are.
Yeah, and, it's funny. Sanford was talking today about, you know, it's easy to forget that Mike Clausen was basically when he was Omar Clayton didn't come into the fold 2 years ago until after Clausen was already signed. Clayton came in at the end of the recruiting period as a walk-on. But, Clausen was brought in here basically to be the future at quarterback.
And and against BYU, he scored two touchdowns. I mean, every time he's been put in this year, he's played well, except for last week against TCU, where no one was playing well. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it how it is. So I'm sure Mike will do great. Question becomes, is we'll be able to lead them to three victories to get them to 6-6 to end the year.
Yeah, and, I would say I'm no doctor, and I don't pretend to play one on TV, but
did you stay at a Holiday Inn last night?
And I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, But I would have to assume that Omar could be done for the year.
I mean, you have any knee injury is at the earliest 2 weeks or longer. Mm-hmm. They have three games left. I mean, you got to do the math. Unless they really, really need him in that final game, it's highly unlikely he's playing for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
It's just math. It really is. It's point blank numbers.
You know, but let's talk about that TCU team a little bit before we talk UNLV New Mexico. We've now at this point in the year, we've seen BYU, we've seen TCU, we've seen Utah. That is the alleged cream of the Mountain West crop. I don't know if you agree with I'm sure you agree with me after seeing it. I think TCU is the best team in this league for several reasons.
Oh, by far. They're the only team whose defense is intimidating. I mean, Utah's defense, anybody can score on them. Mm-hmm. BYU, I mean, UNLV put up 35. They almost lost to New Colorado State or New Mexico last BYU. Mm-hmm. Was it Colorado State who put up 42 on them last? TCU, you know you're not scoring against that team. It's just not even a question. I mean, the only time UNLV scored on Saturday was when their returner dropped the fumble, put them in good field position. Mm-hmm. That defense is fast. That defense loves to hit. That defense tackles, which a lot of defenses don't do in any college conference. I mean, that defense is good.
And you know, I'm of the belief that you could take that defense and that team and put them in, say, like the Big 12, and they're a contender. They really are. I think they're that far above. And you know, if you want like a microcosm to look at that play where Clayton gets hurt. You know, he scrambles to his right. You know, he turns it up. He winds up getting 5 yards, diving for 5 yards. But I mean,
and there's a lot of open grass when he started running. I was like, oh, this may be a 20-yard gain.
And then
it just shut down. It was like an NFL-like defense. Like, they just fly to the football.
And that's what Sanford was talking about. Was that he said, you know, even though they watched him on film so much, he said, you know, the UNLV players really, I don't think, had any idea how fast those guys closed on the ball. I mean, they closed real fast. They knew what they were doing, and they got right to the ball.
I've never seen a linebacker get an interception off a tip ball that was like 20 yards away from him. And he caught in the first quarter when Omar
shoestring.
It was ridiculous how fast he got to that ball. And I was just like, wow, that's a defense. That's a man's defense right there. Mm-hmm. That's a man's defense.
It's a good way to put it.
It is.
I think it's pretty fair.
They're a man's defense.
Are they going to beat Utah Thursday?
That's the thing. It's at Utah. And, you know, if TCU would have played a close game against UNLV and then gotten beaten up, I would have said it could take Utah all the way. But since it was just a blowout, it took out all their players late, midway through the third quarter, how can you not pick TCU with that defense? And mm-hmm. they don't get shaken or stirred like a James Bond drink. I mean, they're TCU, and they're for real. So I think I'll take TCU. That's just me, though.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm really not. But let's move on to the Rebels. They will be home again next Saturday, taking on New Mexico, who comes in at 4-6, lost a 13-10 heartbreaker to Utah. They've lost two straight, 3 of 4. The one win in there, the 70-7 win at San Diego State, who UNLV gets in 2 weeks. But looking at this Lobos team, you know, they're a team that's really adjusted to some of the same things that UNLV has. You know, as far as losing a quarterback to a knee injury, they lost Donovan Porteria early in the season, but they've bounced back and figured some things out. They do have one bona fide stud on offense in running back Rodney Ferguson. He's the second leading rusher in the Mountain West. This is a guy who goes north and south, and he's very good at it. My question for you, Alex, are you convinced that this UNLV defense, I'm not going to say has turned a corner, but is really... the one thing I've noticed in the last couple weeks is in between the tackles, I mean, they've been stopping the run all right.
Have you been watching the same UNLV I've been watching?
No, they're still giving up, you know, miles around the edges, but I'm just saying up the middle they've been okay. You know, how do you think this team bounces back from that loss last week against a team like New Mexico? What are you realistically expecting this week?
I think it'll be a close game. I mean, this is pretty much a must win for UNLV. Mm-hmm. They got to get off that schneid of that 4-game losing streak. And I mean, Ferguson, he's what, 6'2", 234. He's a big guy, you know, so he likes to go up between the tackles. He can't go outside, which you said is UNLV's weakness right now. Mm-hmm. So maybe UNLV can stop him. He's got to tackle. Do they want it hard enough? Will they tackle is the question.
Do you want it?
Do you want it?
Do you need it?
Do you need it?
I don't know. See, that's I think that's the big intangible in this game is the mental aspect for UNLV because, you know, look at Casey Flair made the comment after the game where he said, you know, he was talking to Ryan Wolf in the locker room and they were trying to think of the last time they felt that way after a loss. Like they felt that, you know, I know the margins against, you know, Utah and Nevada Reno earlier this season were, you know, were decent margins, but they were saying, you know, they couldn't really remember the last time they felt beaten like that after a game. They were never really in it. And that's what I'm wondering. You know, they've done such a good job of bouncing back from these close, you know, nail-biter losses. Now how do they react when it's on the other side of the spectrum? I mean, granted, there is something that they're still playing for, so that's one positive. But, you know, can they respond the same way?
It will be interesting to how this game plays out on Saturday. Just because you were saying that the blowout factor, I mean, they've lost four in a row. They're back at home again. I mean, the crowd wasn't too happy with them last Saturday against TCU. We'll see who shows up this week. Let's be real about it. And it's going to be an interesting game, to say the least.
Give me a prediction before we go. Out.
I think UNLV will win. They have to win. They can't keep losing. It's just not possible. I like UNLV 24-17.
Wow. I'm taking New Mexico. Got to go with the trends. I'll take New Mexico, but I think it'll be a close game. I think a lot of it hinges on it's obvious. A lot of it hinges on Mike Clawson. If he's comfortable, you know, he's just as mobile as Clayton, just as fast, has maybe a stronger arm, but he doesn't have that experience of having started 11 games.
And the best thing about Mike is he's playing at home. I mean, he won't get the crowd in his ear when they're on offense, hopefully. Yeah. So he'll be comfortable playing at home, and he played last year as well. So, I mean, he's played at Sam Boyd before, so he'll know what to do with everything like that.
Every little bit helps. Well, before we jump off to segment number two, anything you want to say to the folks until next week?
If you could watch All In on Thursday, 5:30 Vegas TV, or go to the website, lasvegassun.com/all-in, that'd be great. Also, before I go, I must say that if we remember last week when I said that UNLV will force turnovers against TCU, they forced two. Can a boy get some props?
I don't know that they really forced
two. They got two turnovers.
Two takeaways on special teams. The defense didn't do it.
That's defense, though, isn't it? Those count as defensive takeaways, don't they? Can you show your boy some love?
I'll give you half some love. Wow. I'll give you half love. How's that?
Wow.
I'll take it because that's all I'm giving
you. No one likes you anyways, Green.
All right. Well, that is Alex Adiandro. I'm Ryan Green. We'll be back momentarily. Segment two of this week's Rebel Room, we will be talking some UNLV hoops with Rob Misch. Stay tuned. UNLV is now a week away from the exhibition opener and about 10-11 days away from the regular season opener on November 15th at the MAC against San Diego. But still plenty going on. I mean, practices have been picking up, I'm sure. But we got a couple, I guess, oddball topics to talk about today.
Yeah,
as far as
UNLV
hoops, and that's the beauty part of this time of the year before everything's gonna get oh so serious again.
Gotta love preseason.
There's oddball stuff.
Yep.
What's the most odd ball that we will talk about here?
I think the fact that Deshaun Mitchell, the new freshman leaper, high wire act, wants to ride a bull.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, now give some context here because the PBR Nationals
right.
are in town and they're at the MAC.
Right, they're professional bull riders. They're in the MAC, so they've tossed them out of the their main court, so the guys are now practicing on the Cox Pavilion practice gym, which means that if you walk into the practice gym, you will see a line of muck and sawdust and let's put it nicely, bull excrement here and there, and the smell is very beautiful. but these beasts, when I've gone into practice the last few days, there's a semi tractor trailer backed up into the tunnel, and what these bulls do is they're done with their run, they come through the chutes and the ladders in the tunnel, and they come right up into the back of the semi tractor trailer. And I mean, they're ornery and nasty and snarling, and I guess Travon Willis last season, this isn't new to him because he redshirted last
year. Yeah.
So he knew this was coming, and they fascinated him last year. But then he got Chase Standback into looking at him over the past few days. But before practice yesterday, Deshaun Mitchell and Oscar Belfield took a closer look, and I guess. Well, it was Chase a few days ago who was actually waving his red Rebel jersey at a bull. Not the brightest thing to do.
Because that's smart, yeah.
But there are bars separating him and the bulls, so.
They're bulls.
Yes, big, bad bulls. And Trevon spotted the meanest, orneriest, baddest one. He's a big white guy. He said he's going to visit him tomorrow. They before practice, they've been going by and petting him. Well, not, I don't know about petting him, but looking at him and taking a look at and, you know, seeing how ornery they are. And Deshaun Mitchell actually thinks he could ride one. Trevon said
he's an idiot.
Well, no comment.
if that's the case,
perhaps. But Trevon predicted that he would last a second, and then he would, like many other rodeo cowboys, need his life saved by the clowns. So, yeah. And actually, when pressed, Trevon Willis actually said that, "Hey, a few lessons, maybe he could try it." You know. These guys are jokesters, you know, but Deshaun looked me in the eye repeatedly and said he wants to do it.
Well, it ain't happening. I hope he understands that.
No, and Kruger laughed about that and said, nah, it's not happening anytime too soon.
Here's the million-dollar question. By the time next Tuesday rolls around and Washburn comes in and the exhibition game gets going, is the stench from the PBR going to be gone?
It won't be. And here's the thing that I told the new kids today is that come early December, the NFR moves in. So that's a double dose of indignity, maybe, or indemnity. I don't know what that smell would be called, but they're going to have 2 months of it. In fact, Deshaun and Oscar said that they live in the dorms. They said actually walking to their classes this morning, they could smell the stench as they get closer to the area of the periphery of the MAC. So I said, you know what, guys, you know what's coming in next month, the NFR. And they looked at me like, NFR, what are you talking about? So I told them that better get used to the smell.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Talk about a home court advantage, though, if you can get used to it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You think San Diego's rolling in here on November 15th expecting that?
Oh, no.
No, not at all. But before they play that exhibition opener, they're traveling down to Arizona State this weekend.
Yep.
Now, of course, we won't get any details from that,
right.
But they're gonna get a chance to scrimmage against a pretty good team in Arizona State, one that people think pretty highly of, think is a serious contender in the Pac-10, along with the likes of the UCLAs of the world.
Yeah, it looks like from many of the rankings we've seen, they're top 20 probably across the board. They have some good talent coming, some very good talent coming back, and as far as UNLV is concerned, and I mean you can say the same thing about Arizona State too. It's just going to be great to see some other opponents other than just your teammates that you've been practicing against the last 2-3 weeks. So they're going to be able to work on some things. That will be when the true competition starts between Trevon Willis and Oscar Belfield at the point. That will be something to watch over the next few weeks. That will be the thing to watch at the exhibition on Tuesday night against Washburn. I would say it's Trevon's to lose. He might lose it.
But Oscar's gained some ground.
Oscar has gained ground, and he is not trailing Trevon at all in the confidence department. He is right there. They push each other. Oscar really enjoys the way they push each other, and he'll tell you that if he's starter come opening day, he's starter, and that's what he's pushing for. And by doing that, he's making Trevon better, obviously. But he's made a great transition to D1 ball already. I think he has been probably – I'd say he's the surprise of the camp so far, except for the fact that Lou Hill, who recruited him, was so high on him. And of their newcomers, he spotted him early as saying that, you know what, he's not only going to be the dynamic part of this class, he could be the dynamic – recruit in the nation at his grade. So
that's some high praise,
big praise. Yeah. But Lou didn't bat an eye, and Belfield looks so smooth in 3 10-minute scrimmages on Saturday. He made one error. He does nothing flashy, although he ended the scrimmages with a neat little power drive on the right side, a fake wraparound with his right hand, and then just smoothly brought it up and cupped it off the backboard. It was really a sweet veteran move from a young guy. There's only – his upside is incredible.
And, he came from Westchester, which is a pretty advanced high school program that churns out a lot of D1 guys and guys who even go on beyond that. So,
yep.
I mean, I guess maybe a little bit of it was to be expected, but as far as, Lou saying what this kid could be capable of this season. That's taking it a step further right now.
It is, but you can see it. He's so smooth and he's so disciplined. He dribbles the ball well. Trayvon is prone to fumbling a bit. He's prone to making errant passes kind of regularly.
Trying to do a little bit too much here and there, yeah.
And whereas Oscar is, he plays much more within himself. What it's going to mean over the next week, 10 days, 2-3 weeks, that's what we get to see.
Well, you mentioned what to watch for as far as the point guard battle. Let's get a couple more things to watch. Since this is probably the last time we'll talk to the good folks before the exhibition, we'll be talking to you back in the Rebel Room next, I would assume next Wednesday. Mm. But let's talk about a couple other areas that are definitely going to be,
sure.
I mean, granted it's an exhibition, but some areas that will have some focus on them. I would imagine one is right in the middle.
Absolutely. Down low in the paint, Darius, his name is Darius, but it's pronounced Darius. Everybody has called him that for his entire life.
And he's just never put up a fuss.
No, he hasn't. So folks, when you see Darius, just call him Darius and he'll smile at you. He is the solid guy down low, dependable both hands, strong. He's going to be fun to watch. He's not going to be spectacular, but he just gets the job done. And at this moment, it looks like Biaz Hamga is probably going to be your backup at center, the 7-footer. He's made some strides since mm-hmm. I first saw him a year ago. Remember, he redshirted last season, and he's put on some good weight. He's cut more than people remember him a year ago. He's getting much more fluid in the action, blocking a lot of shots, what he's been best at anyway. So he is – you're going to see him backing up Darius. Bryce Masamba has fallen a little back in the last week, toward the – about the middle of last week. He got banged up in a few places, actually. His left hand, his left knee, his left wrist – or I'm sorry, his left ankle. He has an Achilles problem on his mm-hmm. Left side, so –
might require a little bit of rest, too.
Well, he missed 4 practices. He was back there today, Monday. Mm-hmm. He looked good, but you could tell he was favoring it.
Yeah.
So he's walking a little gingerly. It's heavily wrapped, and he continues to get treatment. It's a transition year anyway for him, so people shouldn't be expecting him to come on and all of a sudden take the world by storm and average 30 minutes. I think he's going to be fine. Just making his transition, getting used to D1 ball, spelling Biaz when he can. And, you know, it's quite a luxury for Kruger to have this season.
Man, you're just awesome.
Who? Is somebody else in this room?
You're just a genius.
Ah, nah.
Just the way you deliver everything.
Really?
I'm just like in awe.
I'll give you 100.
Yes. I knew I could get it out of you. Well, any final comments before we take off for the week, Rob?
One last comment would be Wink Adams. For folks who are going out there Tuesday, you are going to be surprised. He has made every year he's been here, you can tell he's gotten stronger. His mm-hmm. shoulders are broader.
Now it's
well, folks, you wait until you see what you see Tuesday. He is so strong. You did the piece on him that really detailed his how far he mm-hmm. has come in the weight room and with his squatting and just his power game is just incredible. He is hitting threes with just a flicker of an eyelash. I mean, he's giving guy his moves are quicker than ever, crisper than ever. He's going to have one of the quickest threes in the country. His release is awesome.
And he's one of those, you know, we've been talking a lot about these freshmen and these newcomers. He's one of the sure things that they're going to be able to count on.
He's the sure thing.
He is the
no doubt.
The surest of sure things.
Absolutely. Even in the scrimmages recently, there were times where Rougeau disappeared. Other times when other people are struggling with their shot, he is just Mr. Consistent. He is going to get, in those scrimmages, he was getting his 24, 26 points. Getting everybody involved, his whole game is really powerful.
Well, you'll get the first look at it next Tuesday, as we said, November 11th, Washburn comes to town. November 15th, the regular season opener against San Diego at the Thomas and Mack Center. For Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room. We will be talking to you again next week once the exhibition is done and the regular season is upon us.
Aloha.
Take care.